Our summer worship series is entitled The Blazing Center. We're going to be focusing on God's Holy Spirit and the way that He works in leading people to Jesus Christ. We're going to spend several weeks learning about the Holy Spirit Himself, and then we'll go into the book of Acts, the book where we read about the way that the Spirit of God founded the New Testament people of God. Now, why are we starting this series today? It's because today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the church's annual remembrance of the coming of God's Holy Spirit. If you were with me in our worship space this morning, you would see a couple of beautiful banners celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. You'd see over the drum set and over the piano, you'd see a banner that cries out to the Holy Spirit asking that He would set our hearts on fire. If you looked at the other side of the room, you would see the figure of a descending dove and the words, "Come, Holy Spirit." That's the prayer of the church. It has been through the ages. So we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit, and Jesus set the stage in Acts chapter 1. When Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem," He's speaking to His disciples. "Don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For," He said, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Well, what does that mean? What does baptized mean? Well, to be baptized means to be identified with whatever you were baptized in. For example, if I take some fabric and I plunge that fabric, I baptize, to use the Greek word, I baptizo the fabric into the water, you know what happens? The fabric is now wet. Why? Because it's in the water and it has now got the characteristics of the water. It's associated with the water. It's even more vivid if you put it into water that's got dye in it, like Lydia. Lydia was a woman in the New Testament who sold purple cloth. Well, how did it get purple? She dyed it. She plunged the fabric. She baptizoed the fabric into water with purple dye. And when the fabric came out, it's not only wet now, it's purple. Baptized means identified with. So when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, that means we have the traits of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are they? What are the traits of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, you'll discover some things. John chapter 14, verse 26 says that the Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of my words. Jesus, of course, is speaking. He'll remind us of the words of Jesus. John 15, verse 26 says the Holy Spirit will testify about me. What about John 16, verse 13, where we read that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth? Or John 16, 14, where it says that the Holy Spirit will glorify me? We read through the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit doing all of those things, but what we really see is that the people of God are doing those things because they have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in them. They are identified with the kinds of activities that the Holy Spirit does. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be learning about the Holy Spirit. We're going to be learning about His person, His fruit, His gifts, His filling, His quenching, and more. And then we're going to go into the book of Acts and learn about what took place through God's people when they were filled up with God's Holy Spirit. For today, though, let's just think about that first day of Pentecost, the day when God's Holy Spirit came and inaugurated the New Testament people of God. They encountered the Holy Spirit. What's that like? What is it like to encounter the Holy Spirit? What can it mean? In fact, that's the question that people asked when they saw all the stuff going on. They said, "What does all this mean?" Well, the first thing it means is there's power. But it's power on the outside. The text tells us that people heard a sound that was like a rushing, violent wind. Well, what's wind like? Wind is outside. It's not something that we generate within ourselves. It's on the outside. The church in the ancient world 2,000 years ago, the church today, didn't work itself up into becoming a body that made a difference and that changed the world and changed people's lives. The church didn't find that power from the inside then or now. We've got nothing unless we have a power not from inside of ourselves, but from outside of ourselves. And see, that's the opposite of what the world tells us. The world says the problems in your life come from the outside, but you've got the power inside of you to make the difference and to transform your life. That's the opposite of God's message. Because God's message says the most essential problem that you have is on the inside. That there's a brokenness that's called sin. You're not the person God designed you to be because of this brokenness, this sin. But from outside of yourself comes this sound of a rushing wind, comes this fire that can transform you. And frankly, if you really think about it, that should be good news. You should feel relieved. You can lay that burden down. You don't have to be the one to transform your life because God will do that for you. This morning I was reading from Martin Luther's preface to the book of Galatians. And here's what he said. He said, "Have we nothing to do to obtain this righteousness?" In other words, he's asking, what do we have to do to get this gift of righteousness from God? And he says, nothing. Nothing at all. For this righteousness comes by doing nothing, hearing nothing, knowing nothing, but rather knowing and believing this only, that Jesus Christ has gone to the right hand of the Father, not to become your judge, but to become for you your wisdom, your righteousness, your holiness, and your salvation. And this power that comes from the outside doesn't stop with the sound like rushing wind. The next thing we see is something that shows up that looks like flames. What's the significance of that? Why are people showing up with what looks like flame on their heads? If you go back through the Bible, you discover that when God shows up, people see fire. In Genesis 15, God appears to Abraham, and what Abraham sees is a flaming torch. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses encounters God, and what does he see? A burning bush. In Exodus 13, the people of God are in the wilderness, and what is leading them? A pillar of fire. In Exodus 19, they get to Mount Sinai, and God shows up, and there's fire and smoke. In Ezekiel chapter 1, his first vision, he sees fire. In Isaiah chapter 6, God shows up, and there's fire. It's constant. So there's power on the outside when the Holy Spirit is at work, power that's associated with God. Secondly, there's a sense of wonder on the inside. God, who's on the outside, comes, makes himself at home in our lives, and begins doing wonderful things. We find ourselves saying amazing things in amazing ways. That's what happened on that first day of Pentecost. See, the old way, Moses on the mountain, okay, is Moses is there, and there's a bush there, and when God shows up, the bush is burning. Now, In Acts, when we read about the first day of Pentecost, every believer is a burning bush. There's power on the outside. It produces wonder on the inside. Third thing I notice about the story, it's for everyone. First of all, that spiritual empowerment that came from God, the flames, whose heads did the flames fall on? Was it just Peter? Just Peter, James, and John, or just the disciples? No, it says in verse 3, each of them, every person who believed in Jesus, Everyone who was trusting him received this empowerment. And then, who got to hear this incredible message? Go to verse 8 of Acts chapter 2, and it says, each of us is hearing the amazing work of God in our own language. See, no language got to be the home culture. It's not like the Jews in Jerusalem say, well, it's really for us, and we'll translate it for the rest of you. No. Everyone got to receive it in their own language. You know, it's human nature to think the way that I learned it is the right way. The Christianity that I learned is the real pure kind, the true kind, and everybody else has to come to me. But the reality is, God, by His Holy Spirit, welcomes all people, and that's why Christianity, Christian faith, looks different when you go to Latin America, when you go to Africa, when you go to Asia, because the Holy Spirit brings it into that culture and honors the way that people experience His power. So we've got power on the outside, a sense of wonder on the inside, a message that's for everyone. Lastly, the message is a message of grace and of love. See, when you read in the Bible about when the Holy Spirit shows up, take, for example, Matthew chapter 3, at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is baptized, the Father's voice speaks, the Spirit of God falls, and the Father says, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him I'm well pleased. Now you say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. Oh, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where Paul says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When the Holy Spirit is at work, one of His key central messages is to tell us we belong to Jesus. A message of grace. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, we read in Galatians 4. The Spirit of God who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you're no longer a slave, you're God's child. And since you're His child, God's made you an heir. See, the Holy Spirit's initial work is to lock into your heart the truth that as you trust in the sufficiency of Jesus, you truly are God's own child. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to convince you of today. That as you trust in Jesus, you belong to Him. Now, there could be somebody listening today who's thinking, I wish I could just know that. I wish I could be sure that I really belong to God. Remember, I quoted earlier from Martin Luther's preface to Galatians, where Luther said, do we have to do anything to obtain His righteousness? No, nothing at all. This righteousness comes by doing nothing, hearing nothing, knowing nothing, but only believing this, that Jesus Christ has gone to the right hand of God the Father. Not to become our judge, to become our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness, and our salvation. Embrace that message today, right now. Take a moment and tell God, I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to believe that You, Jesus, really have saved me. Join me right now as we pray. In fact, say these words with me. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love and Your care for us. Lord, we pray that You would empower us to fully know and trust in You, and to place our confidence not on anything that we can add to what You've done, but that we would believe in the simple message that by trusting in Jesus, we are cleansed, forgiven, made whole, received into Your family. Holy Spirit, persuade us of the truth of that reality today. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.